listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen. That's me. Welcome, everyone. We have a great subject, as always, for you today, and I know you're not going to want to miss this show. You know, many of my patients come to me and talk to me about kind of coping with grief issues from the loss of a loved one. Most of us have felt that, right? So, in order to help them with their process, I usually encourage them to talk about, you know, how they're feeling. And, you know, I tell them that everyone has their own time frame, right? We all grieve at different stages, and they have supposed stages, the Kubler-Ross stages that you have to go through. And I tell them that they have to allow themselves to feel, to grieve. And I also share with them the stages, you know, that they may go through, but, you know, I think to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if we really knew that our loved ones were supposedly resting in peace, or we say, or maybe not resting, right? Trying to let us know that they're okay. Well, I've featured well-known authors, as you know, on the show before, who have had the NDEs, the near-death experiences, and we've talked to them, and, you know, they've described peeking into heaven or whatever they went through that wasn't so well in their afterlife. But my special guest today goes way beyond that. She's a world-renowned medium, and she works with psychologists, actually. We were just talking about that before we went on the air. They refer their patients to her to help them cope with the loss of a loved one. And her name is Concetta Bertoldi. I'm thrilled to have her on the couch today. She's the author of, by the way, the New York Times best-selling book. Have you read it, guys? It's called Do Dead People See You Shower? Come on, you know you all have thought that before, right? And the other book, Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? You know? We're talking about her latest book and many other things today, Inside the Other Side, Soul Contracts, Life's Lessons, and How Dead People Help Us Between Here and Heaven. And by the way, I want you all to know that she's regularly consulted by members of Britain's royal family, celebrities, politicians. I know you've seen her on television, most of the networks, and heard her all over the country on radio. And that's a huge introduction, I know, Concetta, but you have a lot going on, so I wanted to share that with everybody. Welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you here.
Well, thank you so very much for even having me on. It's my pleasure.
You're so lovely. I really appreciate the way you work with people. You have such a good vibe, and you care so much about people. I've seen online, I've watched your presentations, your lectures, you're working with audiences, and of course your TV appearances, and you're just such a sweetheart.
Well, thank you, darling. And you know what? What it's done for me going public with my ability is finding out there are a lot of people out there who care about the human race. So it's really done a lot for me as well. I do love people and the human race. It is at large. So
Well, that's evident, really. You know, I think probably the first, I like to organize my questions so I can express things that everybody would like to ask you here. So how are you able to connect with and listen to the folks who have passed this plane? And, you know, it's also interesting to me. When did you know? I mean, were you really young that dead people were trying to contact you?
I never remember not hearing them. Mm. My mother said as early as the first time I was even able to communicate to my parents, they knew, my mother recognized, she said, mothers always know their children. And my mother said, I knew there was something going on, because my mother had a child before me, my brother, but she said there was something different in the way I was communicating. And then my father's father had the same ability, so my father was told by my grandfather I was going to possess this ability. Mm. My father didn't tell my mother because he was afraid she'd be frightened, because she wasn't brought up where this was really acceptable. So my mother, when she knew there was something going on, and my father, and she recognized it when I was like about 5 years old, and I came in the house and told her my uncle's leg was gone and it was all bloody.
Oh,
and then the phone rang, and it was my mother's brother's wife on the phone saying that my uncle had been in a motorcycle accident, and they wanted permission to amputate his leg.
Ah.
So that's when my father and mother had to have the talk, if you will.
Right. And the talk consisted of what? Honey?
Well, yeah. But my mother said anything has to be better than the way I was raised, because my mother was raised in a horrific background in an orphanage. She was beaten, and it was terrible. So she said anything had to be better than the way she was raised. Both my parents were of different ethnic and religious backgrounds.
Interesting.
So my mother embraced my father's.
Oh, that's lovely. That's
And they raised my brothers and I to be very spiritual people.
Good.
We were told as we started to get older that when we were of the right age, we could choose for ourselves whatever religion we wanted, and they would respect it. So I was already growing up to respect all religions and all people.
That's cool, because there was no dogma, I guess, from the religion that you were raised in. So you got a real...
And it's wonderful, too, because I have so many religions in my family. I mean, we're everything from Catholic to Jewish to Buddhist. We've got it all, Protestants. We've got them all. But you know what? We love them all, and we enjoy everything that they have to bring to the table.
Oh, that's lovely. That is so neat. Well, when I watch you and I've seen you in your work on television and many other venues, you say, oh, I'm seeing mom and dad, or I'm seeing your sister or brother or uncle or whatever, and I'm getting the name this. How do these people come to you in the afterlife?
Well, it first you have to keep in mind that I don't work with anything unless it stands in the light of God. And first you must realize that I believe there's one God for all people. Mm-hmm. So that is place where we're all going.
Okay.
And when I hear them telepathically, unless I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. When I'm sleeping, I can hear them the way I hear you and I.
Yes.
But when I'm awake in a conscious state of mind, I go into a subconscious state, and telepathically I can hear them.
Wow. That's fabulous. That is so interesting. Did it bother you when you were younger? Did you feel kind of like, I'm strange, I'm a different kind of person?
No, not at all, because I had beautiful parents.
Oh, bless
you. It probably would have been different had I not. I know many mediums. George Anderson is one that comes to mind, who was from Long Island, New York. You know, he was raised in a very religious family, and they gave him shock treatments.
Oh.
I mean, this was a kid who, they thought there was some serious possession of evil going on, unfortunately. I was not raised that way. I was raised where my father knew this was beautiful. He knew how to protect me, which was very simple. Call God into it. Mm. And that's what I do.
Wow, you are blessed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would say to you that I'm a normal human being, and I have so many faults and flaws, just like everybody else.
Yeah,
but I feel very privileged that I can hear them, because they have, too, walked me through some very dark times in my life and also brought me to some wonderful times. When I listen to them, it always works out in my best interest. And I have to say that my trust and my belief and my faith in the other side, meaning God, it just works. It's a work for anybody. So that's my passion, to teach people that.
Yes. So with the permission who stands in the light of God from the unseen, people come to you and say, I'd like to talk to you about someone, or I'd like you to communicate with someone who may want to talk to me. I have unfinished business. What are some of the reasons that the people who've passed try and contact us through you?
I think it's really more than you have to keep in mind. They're always contacting all of us. I really didn't corner the market on this. It's just that I hear them a little louder than other folks. And what their real thing is to do is to let you know we don't die. Mm. We go someplace else, and we've got all this beautiful support and love that's helping us and guiding us on this side of the veil, which is a very hard place to be. This is not an easy place, this place on Earth.
Yeah.
And where they are is. That's where home really is. I saw my mother during the Sandy storm. My mother passed in 2000. 2008.
Yeah.
And during the Sandy storm, mm-hmm. I saw her, and yes. I was outside of my body, so I heard her like I'm hearing you right now.
Yes.
And we had this, and I was so excited, and we had this beautiful conversation. But at the end of the conversation, I said to her, Mom, can you promise me when it's my turn to leave this life, promise me you'll help me leave this life easily? And aww. She looked at me with this big smile, and she said, darling, always remember, she said, there is not life. Here is where true life. This is where true life is. And when I heard that, I've heard dead folks all my life, but yet when I heard her say that at that moment, it was like I was hearing it for the first time. It was like something went off inside me that went, I get it. I understand.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Do you suppose a lot of people, you say that we all sort of have the ability, but you have, you know, been born with that ability to tune in more to folks who are on the other side. Do you suppose a lot of us who don't have as strong as an ability as you do sort of prevent it because of fear?
Yes. Oh, yeah. My goodness, yes. Keep in mind, we're all born here hearing the other side. That's why you'll hear a lot of mothers talk about their children and how they say they know the child was talking to somebody or the child tries to point and say, look what's there. And, you know, I hear it from thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And children come here. And what happens is, like anything else, when we're born, we want to be accepted by who we are born to. Mm. So if the folks we're born to are not recognizing this, then the child will eventually say, listen, my mom's not talking. I got to turn my back on you now.
Mm.
And that's what happens, and we disconnect.
That is fascinating. That really is. So, you know, a lot of people sort of need to send messages. Do you pick up that a lot of people who've passed are annoyed by folks like the Ghost Hunters? I'm just saying, you know, some of those shows, I think, leave the poor people alone. They want to just rest in their area.
Well, you have to keep in mind that I watch those shows because I'm always interested in how Hollywood portrays this.
Yes.
But I will tell you that in a lot of those cases, those souls that they are hearing are not choosing God. That's why they're stuck where they are.
Oh, my goodness.
What happens is even if they choose God, though, they can communicate with you.
Yes.
But those that are tormenting other folks here or whatever they're doing, they're just not choosing the light. So there's why they're still doing things here on this side. But then there's some people who I know, legitimate people, we might call them ghost hunters, who are looking for proof and evidence. And it's easy to see because it's energy. It's pure energy that they are once we leave the shell, this Tupperware container we're living in now.
Sure. So once we pass, you're saying that we have a choice. We can choose to go to so there is a so-called heaven and hell, do you believe? I mean, can we call it
I
hell?
I do believe that. Sure, of course I do believe that.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind that we're here doing things and learning things and teaching things, and all of it has a purpose and a reason. We just don't know it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We only know what we got going on right now in our intimate little personal worlds.
Right.
But there's so much attached to that.
Oh,
we have to go beyond that, and that's the part that's hard, because that's the part that's an agreement with God that we made. In my new book, Inside the Other Side, I talk about those contracts.
Yeah.
I want people to learn as much as they can so they feel responsible, and they really take a deeper interest in terms of what their actions are in any given situation.
By the way, folks, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio, and I'm talking to my special guest today, and of course we're going to let you know how you can contact her and get her information, pick up her latest book. It's called Inside the Other Side, Soul Contracts, Life Lessons, and How Dead People Help Us, Between Here and Heaven, Concetta Bertoldi. And her earlier book, Do Dead People Watch You Shower? We'll get to that in just a bit. I was on the New York Times best-selling list for quite a long time. So, you know, we're not going to do questions today about can you tune in to, you know, someone who has passed. What I'd like to do is present information about the book and what folks can learn, basically. So if you all have a question, you can sure call me at 323-203-0815 here in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. If you're shy and you'd like to email me, you can do so, and I will take your emails instantly and try to answer them in the order. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Very easy to do. So we're talking about how people, you know, choose when they go to the other side. Does this mean, I mean, wouldn't everybody choose to go to the light, Concetta?
I think possibly that is something that's the million-dollar question. Because realize that you just mentioned something which I completely agree with you on. The one thing that stops so many people, whether it's here in the physical world or there in the spirit world, is fear.
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I know we're encouraged to go to the light. And I know that there's many souls that, you know, we love and lost that are there encouraging us. But who knows what all of it is on the other side, what we'd be afraid to find or face.
Mm.
And that's individual. And you have to keep always in your heart your own choice is what is going to be for you on the other side. The other side is individually one spirit at a, one soul at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's your choice. And if
yeah.
you're afraid, you're afraid.
Yeah. Yeah. So if we choose to go to the light and it's wonderful, you're one with God and we're in a blissful state and we're in a great energy place. Why do we need to come back, Conchetta?
Oh, everybody asked that question,
yeah.
really, Dr. Michelle. Everybody
yeah.
asked that. But here's what you know. The fact is, we don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the answer. We don't know it all. As much mm-hmm. as we like to believe we know it all, we don't.
Right.
So we come here to learn more, mm-hmm. gather more spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And it's beyond the physical. It's something that's going on spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly don't get it. Not enough that we are still here. There is my question has always been that too. I have asked them a million questions.
Yeah.
How do we become a spirit master?
Right.
How do we become, you know, that divine hierarchy angel? How is that done? Because I want to get on that ship.
Ooh,
you know what
you,
I mean? And then I find myself saying, as much as I know, I can't possibly be able to even shine those soul shoes because
mm-hmm.
I know I'm not perfect. I've done things I'm not proud of. I wish I could take back. I'm no different than anybody else
yeah.
who's walking on this earth.
Right. Right. And that's
and I don't know who among us is. And I would worry
right.
about the one who said they were.
Right. That's right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do. I'm familiar with many clients who come in to see me or patients who say, no, I'm fine. It's the other people in my life. I go,
right.
oh, okay, red flag right here.
Well, right there, honey. That would make me nervous.
I know.
I was just saying that today to
yeah,
my very
yeah.
dear friend. And I said to her, you know, we evaluate. You and I, my girlfriend and I, so we evaluate our actions and our and the things we could have done differently and
sure.
where we owe somebody an apology and a mistake we've made
sure.
and would like to do over. But when I know, and I, we all know people who don't evaluate, don't even think about it. It's
yeah.
just always taken for granted it's the other person's fault. That is a scary human being.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I do.
And I don't like to have friends like that. So
yeah.
the people I hold close to me
right.
think like I do. And
right.
that's probably why we are such great friends.
Exactly. Well, and you know, that's right. You like thinking friends. And sometimes, as I tell patients, is if you keep attracting the folks who are in that what we call Axis 2 Cluster B category,
right, right.
You're going to have problems because you keep rotating on that wheel with that drama and not good.
Yep. So. Right. And then you have to ask yourself, why are you on that?
Yeah.
Why are you in that game? You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Yep. You know, there have been a lot of people who come to me and say, yeah, I don't know how that happened. I think it was a miracle that I survived through this accident, or I needed some information and something just came to me. And I think it was maybe my spirit guide who was watching me or whatever. So mm-hmm. are there so-called spirit guides or people that you believe who are following us or taking care of us and what do they do for why do they help us here?
Oh, darling, why is God helping you?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so is God watching you, protecting you, walking you through this? These
yeah.
are answers that I'm sure
yeah.
you have.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind that God is, when we die, we become one with God.
Mm.
And we all here are a piece of God.
Mm.
And they never lose interest in us.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we can't see them and touch them physically doesn't mean they're not there.
Yes.
And just as simple as the answer is the thing that people walk right by, a simple answer. They
mm-hmm.
think it's too simple to be that, but it is that.
Yeah.
We are being protected and guided by God and by many souls on the other side of the veil who have always loved us, whether it's this lifetime or another.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about something that I hear from some friends of mine, and I sort of don't believe in it because I don't think it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Karma. Why are we paying off? I don't believe in it because, I mean, why are we here? I mean, we're here, I believe, for the life's lessons, to lessen and grow more and become more enlightened beings or whatever that means. But just to basically love and allow and learn and have higher vibration for mm-hmm. ourselves and help others get there. But I have folks who come to me and say, you know, my life sucks. I'm paying off
yep.
I'm paying off some karma. You know, I don't think it's fair to have a life that we don't even recall because we don't even know, like you said, what we had for breakfast yesterday.
Right.
Why are we paying off this bad karma for something we... Well, you know,
I don't know that if that's the way to put it. Yeah. I don't know that I don't believe that that's the right way to say it, that we're paying off bad karma.
Okay.
My feeling is, here's what I feel, that we have chosen to come here, and we have chosen to come to who we are born to, where we are born to, the situation we were born into, and to deal with situations that come up. Mm-hmm. And we made this agreement before mm-hmm. we came here, because mm-hmm. there's a purpose, a reason. And, you know, that might be sound even crazy when you think about mm-hmm. innocent people who, like, you know, come here and were killed. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who came here and went through some horrible illness. And you might say, why would they have chosen to do that? Now, these are all things. Keep in mind, I never claim to be God or even close to it. Mm-hmm. But I do try to get answers that satisfy me as well. So I'm just telling you the way I logically work it out when I listen to them. They may not be perfect. But here's the thing. I do know that there is something and a domino effect from all of these things. And every time something happens here, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, there is a domino effect, a ripple, and it goes on and on. And sometimes we don't even see who else it affects.
Mm-hmm.
But the karma, we'll take right now as popular one, Lincoln. You know, there's a man, a great man, but he was born here suffering from depression. He lost his mother and his sibling, and his father was abusive. I mean, this poor man lost children, right? Had a horrible life, and yet he knew he was going to do something great. He saw his own premonition of his own death in a dream. I mean, this guy was assassinated. What would anybody choose to come here and do that? But look at to this day, today, okay? He's still making an influence in our society.
Right.
People are still affected by that man and his life here on this earth. I think he was only 54 when he died. I mean, those 54 short years.
Yes.
And look at today, how his life is still being recalled and in the purpose of it and whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's people with greater words than I can to explain that, but I'm telling you that I believe that he chose to come here knowing that this was all going to be in front of him, and he was going to make this choice, whether it be because I believe he was a mission entity, came here on a special mission from God, and that he served God, and whatever his life was, had the effect it had because of his choices when he came here and made them.
Mm.
Even though he made the choices, I'm saying he came here knowing certain things, but whatever choices he made, that he still made them in his own soul for his own growth as well.
Yes.
For instance, let me give you an example. Somebody might say, well, Conchetta, did he know that he was going to, you know, free the slaves? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he knew that for sure. I think that he was going to come here and be elected and be president and be put in a position, and it is part of his own soul that had to grow from his choices, and his choices were, yes, I'm going to abolish this.
Mm.
And then his soul grew, but then it also changed the world. Listen, I'm sure it's so big, bigger than I'll ever be able to understand, because it belongs to God's thought process, and not mine.
Yes. That's a beautiful way of explaining it. And I think it does help. When we look at other people, so many people out there who are helping, even on a small scale in our community, selflessly, helping the homeless, helping the hungry, helping children with disorders, or you know what I'm saying? It's just...
Well, you know what it reminds me of, Michelle? Mm-hmm. It's almost as if you saw somebody who was collecting money for a disaster. Okay, let's just take Sandy. It's the closest to mind.
Yeah.
But any given disaster on Earth, anywhere on Earth, and you see somebody trying to collect money for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this environment where all walks of life are walking by them. Very, very wealthy people, famous people, politicians, and every Indian chief. And then there's people that have very little money walking by.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people who have very little money walking by might say, well, those people have a lot more money, so, you know, let them worry about it. But then you'll notice there's a little old lady who only has probably, you know, enough money to get a sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
She forfeits the sandwich and just gets the coffee and donates her money.
Mm.
And then they say something on the order of, No dollar is ever too small. No amount is ever too small.
Right.
So somebody might be donating, you know, $100, but she put in her $4.
Yes.
And you know what? That's her spiritual growth. That's how beautiful that is.
That is beautiful.
And it's really amazing to me, forgive me for saying it, because I've met so many people in all walks of life, and sometimes I've seen the poorest of the poor want to give the most.
Yes.
So what is that all about? I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Yes.
Amazing to me.
Maybe they're the souls who have suffered and have empathy.
Is that a possibility?
You know,
yes, it is.
Yeah.
Wow, that's absolutely true. Maybe they know the meaning of hardship better.
Yes.
Maybe the others are taking it for granted. Who knows? But here's what I say to them. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, baby.
Yeah.
So you better always remember what your actions are.
That's really true.
Today.
That's right. And it feels good, too. It's therapeutic.
Oh,
it feels
sure
wonderful.
Does.
It's not that St. Peter's up there saying, well, you never gave anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe I could be wrong. I'm sorry,
well,
St.
Peter.
Well,
I have to tell you, it's funny you should say that, because I don't drink, I don't do drugs. And anybody, when we discuss that subject, I say, my favorite drug is love. And that's what it is. When you feel or give or receive the real, true, pure love from somebody, or you give it to somebody, boy, does that feel like a great high, huh?
That's so true. It does. And, you know, I always tell my patients, if they're hurting, if they're suffering, if they're feeling, you know, try to just bless themselves and allow themselves and be nice to themselves. Forgiveness.
Yeah.
And reach out. And if there's other people who are really having a horrible time in their lives, just love them for who they are and allow them to get through this, you know? And
well, let me add to that for you, because that's a great contribution. Let me tell you mine now.
Mm.
I would say to that person, pray. Give yourself the prayer you need, darling, because here's what amounts to. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter where you go to do it, and it doesn't matter how you do it. You could be in your own home in your kitchen, and you don't even have to use your vocal cords. You could think it in your mind.
Right.
That's how simple it is.
Yes.
And it is the power of prayer that I can tell you, and I know I tell this to people of all denominations, because it really works.
It does.
They hear us, and they respond.
Yes.
Remember that God is almighty, and all, A-L-L, is because the Spirit of God, wants us to have all we want.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, and you would agree, too, and we can still our minds, our streams of consciousness that drive
that's
us
it.
Crazy. If we can still our minds, and I'm sure that's what you have to go through when you are working with people to try to communicate, you know, that's what people need to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing you're doing too, Michelle. You're giving an example.
Yeah.
You're trying to be an example.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then when you hang up your phone or you go about your business or off the radio, you're not doing your thing, then you try to remember what you're preaching and what you're teaching and put it to work.
Boy, is that
and that's
true.
The thing, that is what I like to do. Remember what I'm preaching, put it to work, use it myself, and I do. And I know it works. I'm sure you know it works, and that's why your passion is to continue to give it out.
Yes, absolutely. You got that right. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you guys just tuned in, you're on LA Talk Radio. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Concetta Bertoldi. You may have seen her on national TV. She's been all over the place. She's had a best-selling book on the New York Times best-selling list for a long time. Her latest book, by the way, is Inside the Other Side, Soul Contracts, Life's Lessons, How Dead People Help Us Between Here and Heaven. I got to tell you, this is hard to put down. This book is good stuff. It's fun.
Thank you.
It's
well,
fun
I collected
reading.
Many questions from my many years of being public, and those are the questions that are most frequently asked.
Yes.
And I am proud to say that my first book, Do Dead People Watch You Shower, is in like 12 languages. And the sequel was because the first one was so wonderful and greatly received, and I am thankful to the world because I really loved that everybody loved it. And that was the sequel, Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs.
Right.
And my new book, Inside the Other Side, took me 2 years to write, and I felt so much compassion when I wrote that book.
Oh, it's just lovely. So, come on, let me just ask you, the gorilla's in the room here. Do dead people watch a shower and do other intimate things? Do you have to be paranoid?
You know what,
about
sweetie,
that?
They do. Come on, let's face it.
Ah!
Most people don't mind. People feel safe knowing if God's watching them, they're okay with that. They just don't want their grandmother to watch.
That's right, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's really, they feel like, hey, listen, if God's watching, it's okay. He created me.
Right.
But here's the thing, they don't care. You have to keep in mind that these souls are souls who understand the flesh and they don't care.
Okay.
They care about your growth, your you know, what you're gaining here in terms of spiritual growth.
Right.
But they're not worried about what you're doing in the shower.
Okay. God, I feel better. Thank you for clarifying that. Now I'm going to go read the rest of your book. So I'm going to self-indulge here, and I've asked your public relations lady beforehand, and you, before we went on the air, if you might pick up something from me about those who have passed, a loved one.
Oh, sure. Sure, Michelle. Let me say that while I was talking to you, I hear a mother figure who's telling me that you belong to her family. So my question would have to be, if it's not your mom, then it's your grandmother. But my first question would have to be, is your mother passed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so because of the way she was saying my beloved child.
Okay.
But she was also standing with other mother figures.
Oh,
now, somebody
cool.
had cancer, or I don't know what kind of cancer. It might have been breast cancer or lung cancer. Who was that, honey?
Mom had breast cancer, but she didn't pass from that.
That's okay. She's just talking about it to me. She's telling me about her life. She tells me that no one will ever suffer from these things because she loves telling you about the future in terms of stem cell research. They love to tell me these things.
Good.
Your mother's just a beautiful woman who tells me that she has. And who is Michael? You're Michelle. Who's Michael?
Oh, God, yeah. Michael? Oh, I'm going to lose it. Ah! Well, the thing is that Michael was my best friend when I was 14.
Who passed away, though.
Yes, he was in a horrible car accident.
You should have let me tell you, because he's standing right there by your mother and shows me the accident. But he knew that you would recognize him and said, this is how I crossed. And he's telling me, I always ask him to show me things you would understand.
Right.
And he just showed me the accident.
Yeah.
I know that he hit, whatever it was, he died instantly because he shows me something trauma to his head.
Okay.
But I do know that he's telling you, I love you. He loves you very much. This is memories that he's showing that are probably having to do when, I don't know, you were very young.
Yes.
I don't really know, but I know he's showing me young images of being outside.
Mm-hmm.
The road is where he's showing me where he was on the road, but I see where he is showing me houses that look like they were not real close together.
Okay.
But I see beautiful landscapes and trees.
Yeah.
And he also has, well, your mother is saying this to me too, so I don't know whose this is, but they have a dog with them. Whose dog is this?
Wow, I don't know. I don't recall.
I see a dog with them. Mm-hmm. I just want to mark it down so you can look into it later.
Okay.
The dog has a name that sounds like one syllable, almost as if it were Tink or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to mark it down so you can look into it.
Okay.
Your mother, I'm asking your mother some questions. She shows me a symbol that shows a birthday. So there's something about a birthday. So it's either that this is March. Mm-hmm. Something around this time of year is either a birthday or whose is it? Who is she referring to?
She could be referring to my dad. His birthday was in late March, possibly.
Yep. Okay, so your father, who has also passed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your father's birthday is coming up, the anniversary of his birthday. She said it's coming right up. She's definitely saying she's standing right with him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, your father tells me that his name was used again. So somebody else had his name, or I don't know how that fits together. It might even be just similar. Like it could have been, not that his name is Frank, but it could have been Frank, and then there was a Fred, but I'm not quite sure what he's talking about.
Interesting. Okay.
And your mother says that you have things of hers that belong to her that she loves that you've kept.
Oh, good. Oh, that's
and
great.
And I know she's saying that you treasure some belongings of hers that she gets a kick out of that you love.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Now, you kind of nailed it. Maybe she was talking about her brother was Fred.
Her brother was Fred. Okay.
Yeah.
Was her brother Fred and her father Fred?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then that's what it was.
There you go.
Then that's what it was.
Good.
Because I know they're telling me they're standing all there.
Yeah.
You have to keep in mind they're all standing there. But I heard the name that sounded like Fred or Frank, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And they said the same name was the father. So that tells me that, I'm sorry about that phone. The father had the same name. So it's your father is telling me, her father is telling me his name was Fred and that his son's name was Fred.
Oh, that's true. That's really right on. That's great. Wow.
You see, they all talk, and they try to get one person as an elected spokesperson, but then they all start talking at once. I get very confused if they do, but your mother was very excited to tell you that she could hear you. I just want to add one more thing. She tries to show you signs that she's around you all the time, I'm seeing a specific flower. It almost looks like mums or something, but I want to mark that down.
Okay. I'll note the flowers around us. That's beautiful. I'm trying to think of the kind of flowers she always liked lots of flowers. So I'm trying to think of, you know, particular things that might that might...
It might show up somewhere where you're talking about her,
right?
Or there's a reason. The messages unfold along with what you already recognize.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's beautiful. The Michael is wonderful because that's been staying with me for, you know, since I was 14.
Wow.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah. Well, he's not dead, honey.
Yeah,
he's right there standing with your family. That's what I mean when I say we don't die and we all...
Yeah.
They're right there no matter how many years it is.
Well, I talk to him a lot, too. And I talk to... Is it good, do you feel, for us to talk to our loved ones?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They don't like to be ignored. They love it that we acknowledge them.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Remember, they're very close. They're in the air that you breathe.
And why aren't some of them coming to us or showing us signs? Or are they peaceful and they don't really need to watch over us? Do you feel?
No, honey. It's just that we're so wrapped up in our life here on this side that we don't always see everything.
Okay.
But there's also a purpose and a reason why we're not supposed to see them.
Okay.
What would be the point? And you have to keep also in your front of your mind that if you saw them the way you want to see them, you'd be thinking you were schizophrenic. There's a very thin line between what I do and being that. You know, so that's a little scary sometimes.
Yes.
So you just have to trust them in the signs that they are giving you.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just very, very simple signs.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, sometimes it can be really simple. Well, thank you so much, you know, for giving me that information, Conchetta. I do feel...
My pleasure.
You know, you're really good. You blow me
thank
away.
Thank you, darling.
You're really amazing. But you're welcome. I mean, thank you. But I just wanted to also kind of ask you about... we all talk about the loss of a close person or family member. And
right.
And sometimes, you know, I had pretty good relationships with my parents, too. So I was fairly lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my clients, though, some of my other family members, they have unfinished anger.
Oh,
they have unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with their parents because they were abused or really deeply hurt by that person. How...
Right.
I guess when abusive or evil people pass, even the mass murderers, we see this going on more and more in our society.
Right.
Does their soul change when they're on the other side, or do they come back to haunt us, or what's
that
about?
Oh, they don't come back to haunt us.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But what they are done, what does happen is they are confronted with their whole life and the domino effect of their actions and the effects it had on everybody that they were involved with or that they. You know, new.
Right.
And that in itself is like a real big wake-up call on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But unless, with the exception of murdering somebody, I know that I know there's a lot of pickle pusses that I know that passed away who come back to say, oh my God, I'm really sorry. Because they realize something and learn something upon going back to the other side that they weren't able to see when they were here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always just amazing to me how they'll come through and apologize. And it's not that they automatically just become these wonderful people, but on the other side, there's no room for anything except unconditional love, you know, and then there's just different where the people who are really evil, those folks, I don't know where they go because I ask in the name of God not to hear them, not to be in, I don't want their energy around me. I mean, I've done readings for people. Not a lot, but I remember one reading in particular.
Yeah.
I did a reading for a guy. I'm from New Jersey, so you know that what lives in New Jersey, right? Some guy who had just got out of jail and the two gumads had brought him here. It was really an interesting thing.
Yeah.
I knew there was some real bad stuff around him, but I didn't hear it. All I could hear was his mother talking to him.
Hmm.
But I know that those people that are really bad, there's different levels and dimensions of the other side. So where they go, how that's treated, I don't really want to know.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
I hear you, girl. In terms of people watching over us, or let's see, you have the mission entities you talk about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
yes.
the same thing as spirit guides, basically? The mission
entity? No, a mission entity is not. A mission entity, think of it in terms of they come on a special mission from God, a divine mission from God.
Okay.
So there's many ones that I would call mission entities. I mean, we spoke of Lincoln. How about Michael Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he came on a special mission. There's something. He changed the world.
Yeah,
the
did.
World round, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't judge him and whatever. We don't know about whatever his personal life handled.
Yeah.
I don't know what the truth is.
Right.
I only know that he changed the world, I mean, in so many ways. And there's so many other mission entities.
Mm.
A spirit guide is a spirit who is just so divinely connected to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know on what level the personal connection is.
Mm-hmm.
But it could even be not somebody you were born to. It could be a very best friend.
Okay.
You know, I have a best friend. We've been friends for 50 years, she and I.
Yes.
And she is absolutely connected to me some way that we don't understand.
Right.
But it goes beyond that. But there are mission entities, and there is a spirit guide. A spirit guide could be somebody who knew you from a past life and just loved you so much, loved you so divinely, and has a bona fide interest in your growth, your spiritual growth, and wants to help you.
Wow. Do you feel that we've known most everyone who's around us and in our family and friends in past lives, or do we come here to experience new souls to grow more?
Oh, I really believe we've known everybody, and I think that, I guess we could throw in a couple of new ones that we just meet, I don't know, but I mean, we're so old, we don't realize how old we are as spirits.
Yeah.
So I really believe at one time or another, we've crossed paths with most everybody in our life, yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. So someone can choose from the other side, too. Let's just say a guide. Someone can choose to not even know you, possibly, and say, I'm going to help out this individual, right? I mean,
yes, that's
it doesn't
correct.
Have
yes.
to be
that
a...
could be us, but I believe that somehow they do know us.
Mm.
We may not recognize them. You know, we at this time might not be aware of some of our spirit guides and how we've known them before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the person who doesn't know them. We may not, but they know us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to the other side of the veil, we will recognize who it was and how they knew us.
Mm.
It's an all-knowing that comes to us when we get there.
Yeah.
All-knowing. All things are known to us.
Mm-hmm. If there's a couple of things, or even one thing that you might want to say to listeners to help them out and to understand what you're talking about here in your latest book, which is Inside the Other Side. It's about soul contracts and life's lessons and how dead people help us between here and heaven. What would that be, Conchita?
Oh, my. There's so much, Michelle. I wish I could think of one thing. Mm. There's so many. So if I thought of the most... Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry
okay,
to put you on the spot.
Okay, I have a lot of passions, but one of them is, it's going to sound silly because there's so much I write about, but one of them is appreciate the earth we live on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe how disgusted I am when I ride around in our country and I see the garbage that people just think that there's room service coming to pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, they throw it out their window and just leave it for others to pick up. It makes me crazy because this is one gift from God.
Yes.
It's a big gift from God, and it concerns all of us to keep it at pristine condition.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's so important to me that I would tell people. It's a sin against God to just disregard it that way.
Yes. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing to say. No, that really is. I mean, a lot
of
people.
Thank you.
And they, you know, it's hopefully, you know, our enlightenment is going in that direction for really taking care of our Mother Earth.
I hope so. I really do, because it's got to serve a lot of future generations.
Oh, you said it. So, Conchita, how can people get your book and find out more about you? I know you're booked into years ahead because you're so good.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. They can Google me, and they can find my website. They can friend me on Facebook. They can also go to Amazon.com, and they can order my books on Amazon or on Kindle, or they can order it at their bookstores. They have to only have my name, which is Conchita Bertoldi, and they can do any of those things. My website is my name. My Facebook is my name, and I welcome all those listening to please come and join me and talk to me and let me know you're out there.
Oh, thank you so much. What a great interview. Thank you for your time today. It was just great, enlightening. And
thank you, sweetheart. And I wish you such good luck and success with everything you in your life and all of your beautiful work that you're doing as well.
Thank you so well. I'm blessed. I'm a lucky gal. So.
Good to know it, right? Good to know it.
You said it. It really is. All righty. And I'm going to have this show, by the way, up for reruns and downloads. This weekend it'll be available, and everybody can know how to contact you. And you're going to get a lot more people. You're going to be booked for 3 more years ahead now.
Thank you, honey. Well, God bless you, darling. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much, Conchita. Take care.
All right, babe. Bye.
Bye-bye. Again, that's Conchita Bertoldi, and she's the author of the book Inside the Other Side. We learned about life lessons and how those who've passed can help us between here and heaven. You know I'm more of a spiritual psychologist, everyone. You know that I focus on these subjects because I think there's a lot more that goes on than we know, and we just need to pay attention. And it helps us out in our lives, too, and it helps us out in our journey. All right, it's just about that time. Listen, I want you all to take care of each other. Take good care of yourselves first, as I always say, because then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works here. All right, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me at DocMichelle, DocMichelle at AOL.com, and I'll be back next week with more wonderful information for you. We're going to focus a little bit on the spiritual side, a little bit get inside your head and figure out how to make your life better and happier in general. Thanks for listening, everybody. More great shows coming up next on LA Talk Radio and, of course, CBS News. Bye-bye.